So hello, everyone, and welcome to our last Ask Me Anything call for BioFit. We're coming down to the home stretch, and we're going to structure this call a little bit different than most of them. We're going to take as much time as we need at the beginning to answer any submitted questions and any questions that you have. Half an hour devoted to that. Then I have a case. I only had two people submit their cases. You guys missed out on a really good opportunity, but made it easier for me because then I only had to review two cases and make a decision. So here's what we decided. Lori is volunteered to have her case shared with the group, and I'm going to go through it with her, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But Michelle shared hers, and Michelle had had shared before when we did a case that I recorded, but she gave the genes for that. So what I'm going to do is record and go back. That will be like an addendum to that. It's not going to be the, here's how I'm doing it. It's not really a demo, but it's more like, here's the process and how I want to show you to tie things together from the genes, the history, and the labs. So that'll be coming probably sometime next week. I have to just, carve out the time to do that. I'll explain this again at the after we finish the questions. And then at the end of this, we have Dr. Alan Hopkins on, and he is amazing. And he has his own lab company, and he's amazing at cardio testing. So if you have questions about cardiovascular testing and how to tie all that together, you're going to be able to ask him, and you'll be able to ask him anything. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle to share her question rather than reading it from there. Is that better? Okay. Michelle has a question that she submitted. We'll answer that. We'll answer any other questions you have, and then we'll go on to the case. So Michelle.
Great. Thank you. So yeah, really helpful workbook. I've spent more than 2 hours, but going really through to really kind of think through there. It's a, rinse, lather, repeat, keep going back and getting deeper information. And the question that came up for me, I basically know for where I am in my business model, I want to start with one-on-ones to get the experience. But what I can see doing, I especially see a path with the blood sugar stabilization type of pathway to go from one-on-one coaching, get that experience, move it up to group coaching. Mm-hmm. With that said, the part that I'm a little fuzzy on is how to do the economies of scale factoring. I took into account the annual costs, the time I spend on a one-on-one session. And keep in mind, by the time I move to group coaching, I'll have had a better feel for what's working, what's not, and be able to adjust how much time is really invested in a one-on-one coaching for blood sugar balancing. But how do you predict or factor in that economies of scale when you're thinking of group programming in your cost model?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm going to just ask a couple of clarifying questions first. So when you say a group model, do you mean taking a small group of people who have similar issues or through blood sugar and meeting with them as a group? Do you want to do a hybrid approach where you meet them with them as a group, but also include some one-on-ones? Or do you want to do like a big teaching program with group coaching on a larger scale?
I think for the first step, I would probably go with option A of doing a group program where everything's grouped together, no individuals, or maybe there'd be an upsell to the one-on-one model coaching, but the core content would be a group. Everyone gets on the same calls, the live group calls together. They can do their stuff in between, but they get to share in a community, say Facebook or whatever that is, in between. And then they get to come in for their, celebration, their question, their whatever as a group. And they're getting the same information in terms of like handouts and stuff offline.
Handouts and what else they're going to, with their steps. So the question then, okay, I always have questions. What size of group, the size of the group matters in how you're going to price it.
Okay.
Right. So if you're willing to do a small group of 5 to 10 people, that's going to be a lot more pricey than if you're doing a group program with 100 people or 50 people or 25 people, right?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. I the first few times, it might end up being I want to do 50 people and get 10. You know what I mean? As it scales up. So I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Yeah. And I think the answers are going to come as you do it, yeah. Right? You're also going to see as you do it one-on-one, mm-hmm. how much time is it taking you? So exactly. You can go back through and say, okay, I charge this much for this one-on-one coaching. I put this many hours in. If yeah. I'm doing a group, I want to make at least the same, but really want to make more in terms of your profitability, let's just say, yeah. Right? So then you can calculate, okay, so let's just say you did some people through, and for each person you charged $5,000 and you spent 50 hours, all right?
Each person, individual person or group?
For the one person, $5,000. Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
Sure.
Okay. I did this with somebody on a call and it was so enlightening because she was charging ridiculous differences in price. And she goes, oh my God, I'm better off doing that because she wanted to drop her one-on-ones. I'm like, oh. So anyway, you want to figure it out so that it's scalable,
yeah.
So that you're making more doing the group than you are doing the one-on-ones.
Yeah.
Right. So you calculate that and then you say, well, for my 50 hours, it'll probably take a little longer with a group because there's some group facilitation and there's maybe some more questions that come up and that sort of thing. So maybe it takes 60 hours, but I want to make at least the same amount per hour, no, or 20% more. Let's just say you say, I want to make 20% more. And realistically, I'd love to have 50 people in this program, but I'm probably only going to get 5 or 10. And then you map it out and then you make a charge. When you do a small intimate group, you can charge a whole lot more than you can for a group that's going to have, you know, 50 or 100 people, mm-hmm. right? Like my sweet spot, we charge $500.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had 200, 300 people run through that program at the same time. So it's good profitability there, right? But if I were to take a group of 5 people that I really wanted to get to know well and have those intimate small group coaching sessions, there's no way I would charge 5, you know. I'm just saying where you're at, you might charge 1500 versus 500 for that, yeah. Right? Whereas you might charge 5000 if it was one-on-one. So that's my take on it, but I want to ask Yvonne for her opinion on that as well.
Yeah, no, I think those are really good, valid points. And I love, Michelle, I love that you're thinking of like where you want to go, but definitely from doing the one-on-one, one of the biggest, more important pieces is you're going to figure out your ideal client and how they best learn, how they do it. And you may find, you know, oh, this is where people put the cart in front of the horse, where they're like, okay, I want to add all these features to the program. And then they feel like they figure out working with this client. Oh, all those features actually don't work. And I could actually do a group program where, you know, they're self-starters or this, and they just need short little check-in calls or a little bit of a messenger access. When you're thinking time-wise in your time, it's not as much of a resource that's attended. Or the other factor that you really have to factor in is, again, personality type of people, is the customer service. The time that it takes to answer people's responses and doing it, that is a huge factor of group calls. This link is broken. You have people that get all super like, oh my gosh, this isn't working. And then you get 5 million emails that you're answering. Then you're like, I did a video. I did a walkthrough. Like, do never underestimate that. That can take so much time. And then when you're doing those group programs, really clearly articulating boundaries around that and expectations is a huge thing. I know you know a lot of this, but I just want to verbalize this for everybody else, is being so clear on expectations and boundaries and accessibility and like expectations of when are they going to receive this? Why are you doing this in this way? Why are you teaching in this way? Why are you dripping material? Why are you giving it to them there? Because I understand that you as a client type of a thing, like always being like, I'm doing this for you. You know, there's a reason behind that, owning your expertise. But really, as you start to navigate through your one-on-ones, you're going to be really clear on what are the best assets. What is the best way to deliver content? How are they best served? How do they need to, same thing too, is like putting them into little small groups and PowerPoints. Like you're a self-starter. I'm sure there are going to be some leaders, and that's going to also, like you said, offload your plate, but if anything, help them really go really fast and get really great results. The other nice thing about doing like the smaller groups, like she said, is like, you'll be more intimate with them. The probability of doing some sort of a one-on-one check-in or upsell is very, very high. And then also the opportunity for referral. One thing that I would encourage everybody to map out is like, what you, where you're at right now, but thinking lifetime value of a customer, is that they're coming in at what entry point? What does that mean to them? You're knowing that they're going to have to get blood, their blood redrawn at least once a year, right? What is, and that's the whole reason I'm like, then you guys like, this is the best model ever. This is why this works. Because now you have repeat customers. Hope you know, it's not a technical membership. You have almost a subscription-based model where people can be coming back to you year on year on year. Okay, let's revisit your blood count. It doesn't have to be full panels. Maybe it's just a small thyroid panel that they're now redoing in 3 months. So from one person, so when you're thinking about pricing a group program, what is the end kind of probability of a cost or like benefit and revenue and profitability that they're going to bring into you? Again, too, that's not continual, like your marketing and the time that you're spending in marketing, money that you're spending in marketing. If you do really good at attracting the right people and you treat your people really well, they stick around, you know? And then now you have a baseline of knowing, okay, I'm making X amount of money every single month because I have these people that love me, these raving fans. Like I said, your Right Fit Ready clients become raving referrals and lifetime people. They are your ride or dies, the type of you. I have those people that literally will be you for years and decades. You love those people because those people are now bringing their aunt, their uncle, their kids and stuff. And then now you have this base of people where you can quote unquote count on them that every 6 months you're going to offer a service, you know? So that's something to factor in account when you are doing like, not freedom, where you say like these, it's not a lost leader per se, but will you price your point in so that you're getting people in, you're delivering incredible results and services. And then now there's this kind of this lifetime kind of, when you're thinking of client kind of journey for you and what is the kind of steps that you take them. And everybody will be a little bit different. Maybe people are just like, I just want one and done people. So, you know, I just want to do group programs. I don't really want to service them from one-on-one. It'll be different from everybody, but that's also going to help you when you're pricing this out. So it becomes less of a barrier entry to come in, but knowing, okay, what is the lifetime value of this client? And then what is that going to save me marketing wise, time wise, headache wise, that I'm not going to have to constantly be going, you know, trying to get more people. We have a solid base of a clientele base. That's where you get your waitlist clients. That's where you have your waitlist kind of baseline revenue and then prices to start to come up. Cause you know, I'm always making X amount every single month, every single quarter, every single year. These are my revenue goals. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yes, it does make sense. Thank you both for that. I'm going to distill it down to like, there's more takeaways, but three takeaways I can process in this call and then re-listen to or four, maybe five. But basically, if we take one-on-ones versus elite or five, you know, five people groups versus 50 people groups, one-on-ones cost the most, you know, the biggest group costs the least, and then it scales. And then in between, they'll pay less than they did one-on-one, but they'll still pay higher than they do 50 in the middle.
A lot. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a fair amount more because it's more customized attention and it's very collective and intimate. And then to your point, Yvonne, thinking about, thinking strategically on the model of who you're bringing in as to how you price it. So that's some price consideration. It's all different, but you know, you might consider, for example, I might say, hey, I'm going to price this one a little lower because I want to get them the results so that I can get them to be a lifetime client.
Right.
Regardless of the price. Is that a fair takeaway from those?
Yeah, that's totally fair. Couple of things I want to caution you all about. One, people will say, well, I have this one-on-one program and it's $5,000, whatever. I'm just throwing that number out there. And I'm going to do another program for a small group of five people. So therefore I'm just going to charge them each $1,000.
That's a good point,
right? You're not taking into account a lot of the overhead, right? So that's one point. The other point is, and this should calm everybody down, it's going to be an educated guess at the beginning. It's going to be an educated guess. You don't know what your costs are and you just like grasp at straws, you know, you figure it out. You go, okay, if I'm going to do five people and I want to make, you know, X number of dollars over the course of this, and I want to have profitability. And like Yvonne said about customer support, don't underestimate that. If you have to pay somebody, you know, $25, $30 an hour to handle customer support tickets, and half of them people are tech nerds, no offense, but that are sending in messages all the time that say, I can't get this link, I can't get this link. That increases your cost to deliver that program. And if you don't have a customer support person, that increases your time, which dilutes your hourly wage. And you may end up, I've done this before where I've offered a program and I'm like, wow, I made $10 an hour doing that. I could have gone to work at Walmart and I made more money, right? Not that I would have any more rewarding experience, but you see what I'm saying? So it's guessing sometimes. And the whole thing about where are they going? When I first started my sweet spot program, my blood sugar balancing program, I priced it at $297. The very first time through, we had 108 people join it. I don't know how we did that, but we got 108 people join it. And so I thought, okay, my goal for that program was to then take the best of the best from there and get them into ERC at the end of that, right? So I said the next time, I'm like, I gave them so much for $300. Oh my God, they got so much. I'm going to raise the price. And business coach at the time said, no, because you want more people available to you. If you raise the price, you'll probably get less people. You might even make the same amount of money or more, but that's going to sabotage you at the end because you won't have as big a pool to offer into this high-end program. So those are all things to think, keep in mind. Okay.
Great info. Thank you, ladies, both of you.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Anybody else have questions or comments or anything you want to go over before we go into our case?
Can I ask a quick question, please?
Yes, sure, Ruby.
So when there was on Tuesday call, we were talking about doing a lead magnet. So I switched my gears and tried to work on lead magnet. But I think I always get stuck at one point because I did start doing that several years ago when I was looking at online business. Because right now I'm seeing one-on-one clients in my practice, and that has given me confidence to work, you know, and I have a mix of patients. So they come to me for diabetes, cardiovascular, gut health, everything. Yeah. So I've enjoyed working in a variety of all these places. And this is where like a common question everybody says, when you niche down, you just don't want to work only with diabetes or only with, you know, all that. So when I was doing my lead magnet, I came across the same issue. If I just have like a simple lead magnet, I mean, I can just do it in a day, coming up with that blood sugar balance, just with, you know, these five steps to do and all that. But it does not, it give me the satisfaction. It's not my inner voice. Like I just want to attract people who understand that I have a different way of working. I mean, I want to give them a little bit of taste in the beginning that this is a functional nutrition approach. It's not just plain that conventional do this, do that. So trying to merge all that is giving like taking some time for me to come up with that lead magnet thing. Is that the right way to think, or I'm too complicated in my thoughts? Because I want to mix and match.
I understand it totally. That's why I have like 50 lead magnets. Okay. And it attracts different people. But I would ask you first, of the kinds of people you like to work with, what's a common symptom that runs through them all? Do they all have fatigue, or do they all have brain fog? Are they all overweight? Do they all have, you know, what do they all have? Because whether they have diabetes or, you know, microbiome imbalance, they probably have both, right? They probably have all of these contributing. And so what are their big pain points? And what's a common thread for your first lead magnet? Doesn't mean
it's just the weight. Everybody wants to lose weight, and they come to me and they have all these myriad of problems. So when I'm digging in and I'm doing the functional testing, that's when I'm figuring out, no, you have much more than just losing weight. So that's why I was pushing.
But that's the thing is, like, you have to meet people where they, what is their must solve now primary pain?
They want the
all
weight.
They see is weight. But we're like, oh my gosh, your inflammation markers and your blood sugar. It's like, we're like over here, but they're over there. And that's what I said when I said the awareness thing when Michelle asked, is people make the mistake is they're not speaking it to the primary problem, the symptom that people are hyper myopically focused on right now. If you start telling them about their gut microbiome and their gut, this, that, the other thing, their serotonin levels and not sleeping, they're like, blah, 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 blah. But if you're like, all right, you're 5-10 pounds overweight, this is like, these are the things and the things that like comment, you have to speak to them where they're at. then they'll come into that. We just love functional medicine. We love all the geeky stuff. People don't love it as much as we do. They just want to get the pounds off. They want to be able to button up the pants.
Exactly. And you can tie it all together with your lead magnet and with videos and all by saying something like the five most commonly overlooked causes for, you know, the pounds not coming off. And it's not a sexy title yet, but basically you can theme it on that. Mm-hmm. And you can say, you know, you're trying to lose all this weight, you're struggling, you've tried every diet incarnation, and you're probably missing these three, five, whatever points there are. Download my free guide or watch my video or whatever, and I'm going to teach you what those are. You created curiosity there. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I have tried all these things, and what are those things that I missed? Right. Mm-hmm. And then you can talk about blood sugar imbalance and how that affects the blood, the body's weight. You can talk about microbiome imbalance and how there's skinny microbiomes and fat microbiomes, right? You can talk about, you know, stress levels and sympathetic, parasympathetic, and cortisol. Like, pick three, because those are three good ones, right? And they don't know that. And that's going to lead them to, wow, she knows what she's talking about. I want more. How do I know which of these is mine? Oh, right. Then you get the next resource, which would be, you know, sign up for a whatever, and I'll, you know, or my quiz. You can do a quiz from there, whatever. But you see what I'm saying? The top of funnel is going to drive, you want most people to come in through that top of funnel. And then you weed them out, and you're not going to get bored. You're not going to get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Sense?
Yeah, that's what it's just like too many ideas when they come and like, okay, let's just
commit
to one
and finish it.
Yeah.
Commit to
what
one
do you
and
think
do
of that idea that I just gave you?
Yeah, that's excellent.
That's your lead magnet. Go for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to
do. Section.
Right? Yeah, because I have different things, but I was like trying to merge things together and come up with one language that would attract most of the patients I'm seeing right now. So it's just like a hook that can, not just saying only blood sugar, but just a hook that can bring, what I was like thinking detail, but it's going to take some time.
You're thinking totally right. And here's the thing, a hook is something that's going to pull them in, right? And mistakes or myths or things you're doing wrong or things your doctor doesn't know about, things like that get them curious. They want to go, okay, what am I missing? I want to download your thing. And then if you nurture them, like in the workbook, it talked about the nurture, right? And then in the nurture sequence, you keep them going and you say, hey, hop on a call. Let's talk about your situation and let's see if I can help you with this. Oh, does this sound like you? Great. Let's hop on a call. And you can just guide them through that nurture sequence with all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what's in the workbook. What are the myths? What are the mistakes? Why is what they're doing right now still not giving results? I literally wrote down what the mistakes that you're doing right now that you're still not getting results. People would want to know, okay, I'm doing these things. Why am I not getting results? They're going to get a lean in factor from that. If everybody was to write things around that, you're going to draw people and then you can take them on the journey from there. But those are quick things where people are like, yeah, why am I not getting the results? Wait, there's something else to this. Like, what are the mistakes making? Nobody wants to make mistakes. Speaking into those things, like you said too, the weight, just go with the weight. You knew it. Everybody always knows intuitively. And then we kind of start to overthink it versus like, go put it, do it down, finish it. Like literally set a timer, do it, just do it. Whatever it is at the end of that 2 to 3 hours, you're done. Then you can get feedback and go through it. But if you give yourself a whole day to do it, a whole weekend to do it, you will use the whole weekend to do it. Versus if you give yourself 2 hours, you intuitively know what to do. You know what to do. You just need to do it and say super succinct, super simple, go for it, get feedback, then move on. Because like you said, this has been years in the making. We've all been there.
Yeah. Right? So I've been thinking, no, this is not right. This is not right. I've been just going back and trying to do things in a different way. I'm like, and then education is like Dr. Ritamari always says, it never ends. So I keep on getting trainings and training. Like, no, I want to move on to that.
Move on to doing something with it. Ready, fire. You know, the saying, ready, aim, fire. Ready, fire, aim. So you get yourself ready, you do this thing, and then you go, I'm putting it out there. And then you go, that didn't work quite the way I wanted to. Now I'm going to be more precise in how I aim this, who I target, how the languaging is. But you've got to get it out there. Now, I'm a big fan of build the plane as you fly it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, oh my God, I'll die if I try that. Okay, then don't quite go that far, but you're going to put the idea out there. When I offered my sweet spot program the first time, I didn't even have a name for it. I offered this program. I had 108 people signed up, and I put the program outline together after I got them signed up. I was literally building it as I went and doing it live, right? That's the way you do it. You may not have as good a tolerance for that as I do as far as the uncertainty. So you're getting a week ahead of yourself. You get 2 weeks ahead of yourself, right? But you have a general map. You know where you want to take them. You know what evaluations you want to do. You know what tests and what checklists and all that you want to work with them on. That's how you do it. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah.
Welcome. Thanks. Yeah, too many people. I'll give you one example and then we'll answer Michelle's question. I had invited a colleague of mine to speak at my Spring Into Vitality event that we used to do. We stopped them in 2016, but we did them every year. And I invited guest speakers, and I invited her because she was a mold expert. She was really good at helping people to identify that they had mold issues and all this stuff. And I wanted her to share that with my audience. And before she came and spoke, I said, you need to put together a mold remediation course on how to handle mold and how much it affects your health. My people will buy it. You can offer it, you know, either as a follow-on to my event. People will buy that course. Oh, but I have to. She didn't. She did the event. She left people hanging. They didn't know what to do with her. She had, you know, a $550 at the time, first event, first call session. She had a 2-year waiting list for one-on-one people. So nobody could really get the help they needed. They just had to go find somebody else. Fast forward, she still doesn't have a mold remediation. And it's like 7 or 8 years later. Well, I hired the photographer and they're going to do this and then they're going to do that. She still doesn't. And now there's a bazillion other people out there now have mold classes. Yeah. She could have been the first in her field. Don't let that opportunity slip by you. Okay? Michelle.
I see we're almost at 1:30, so I'll ask it, and if it can be answered in 30 seconds, great. If not, we can put a pin. I just couldn't make content implementation yesterday. I didn't have internet. So question really actually to Dr. Yvonne is just briefly, are you using Biocanic for your clients, and are you having any kind of integration between ConvertKit, ThriveCart, and Biocanic, or no? And I can finish up.
So Biocanic, ThriveCart. So ThriveCart, ConvertKit, yes, those talk to each other. Biocanic doesn't talk to those.
Okay.
But that's a simple, I mean, that in and of itself, like ThriveCart, ConvertKit, that's, and it does talk very well together and they work very, very well.
So are you using Biocanic more as like, okay, they're already onboarded and we're just doing the program. It's more like the implementation portion.
Mm-hmm. And that's just where the documents and stuff get saved. And yeah, where they can reference notes. I'm using that as basically ERH and stuff like that. So that's your software where they can easily go. I've built out programs in there. Exercises programs are in there. All the kind of modules, the programs are in there. And then that's where they can always reference back any of the testing and stuff like that, and any sort of notes and through there. That's where I give them like call recordings and stuff like that. So they'll access that. I also have it saved in like Google Drives as well, because some people like that. So you can go kind of either way with either of those. Does that help?
Yeah, and then
you can do the course out on ThriveCart as well too. So that's like what in the process too is, on like we're putting everything onto ThriveCart as a program, and that's a one cost thing. So that's now all the programs live there. So that's no longer like a repeated cost over and over again. So if you're just getting started and you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I just want to do a Google Drive and then have my ThriveCart, my course out through there, and then like ConvertKit and email. You would still need like a scheduling system in through there, so you could do Calendly, and that's I think free up to a certain point of features and stuff like that. So if you're thinking of, okay, I'm just getting started, that would be my recommendation. You just do, you know, your ThriveCart, your Google Drive, and then like a Calendly. If you want to do Biocanic, again, it's not again, I can't speak to it. That's not that much. That's just making an assumption on people. But those would be just the things when you're thinking of pros and cons list, or like building, like, this is going to grow with me versus this is going to be, have a strong hold over me in the future. And it's very fascinating. More and more people are now gone from these crazy, like, other platforms now back to these programs that have really grown, like the ConvertKit versus ActiveCampaigns and some of these like crazy softwares, which they're just outrageously expensive. Like Dr. Rita Marie says, now they have a stronghold for you. So then to navigate off of them. And I know several people in business that had gone from like a ConvertKit to ActiveCampaign. They're like, that was the worst decision of my life. And they're regretting it. And now they've switched back.
And so, you know, there is something called Zapier. If you get,
yeah, and it talks, yeah, it links
them. Zapier can make anything talk to anything, pretty much, right? And okay, we have somebody on our team, Tasha, who loves Zapier, and she connects everything. there is an integration. They have to have an API. That's, you know, they have to have an API, and Biokinic has an API, and it talks to Infusionsoft. So there's no reason it can't talk to other platforms, yeah, as well. The reason, yeah, I like to use, I still use Google Drive for certain things, but the reason I like to use Biokinic, it is HIPAA compliant. So they're not sending their data in through an email or whatever else. And a lot of people are really conscious of that right now. And mm-hmm, some people just don't want to put anything personal on Google Drive because they're afraid that Big Brother is going to get their personal health information. So. Anyway,
Google does have with the drive, it does have it where it's, it has, it's an associated cost. It's a higher cost where it is. It has that HIPAA compliant vein to it. And then intake queue or practice queue is another one too, where it automatically, when they submit intakes, it directly saves into a Google Drive. So they now have, and you could go in there and it's all in that Google Drive that also uploads like attachments. It's integrated into full scripts as well. You can do scheduling and billing in there as well. So then if you're thinking of, okay, maybe I don't want to do Thrivecart for to do the payment processing, it does scheduling, billing, email, onboarding. And then there is, you can do your intakes in there as well. And then that can directly also, it automatically, it's just literally, it's a click of a button where that automatically then saves any document or any note that you do in this one client's file for you. So that's another option. And that's only $40 a month.
Yeah. And Biokinic does have now integration with a Google Calendar, mm-hmm, and they have integration for billing and payments as well. So mm-hmm, it's really, you know, figuring out your tech is, it, you got to be careful and just compare and contrast the mm-hmm pros. So Leah, AKA Noah today.
Whoops. Sorry about that. Yeah, you never know what name's going to be on my name. I had just had a quick, a few quick questions about more content related stuff. If somebody has a heterozygous NBPF3 versus a homozygous NBPF3, how would you go about like supplementing B6? Like if they're...
Okay, first of all, I don't do that. I don't look at a SNP and say I'm supplementing, right? You have.
I know, but like you've got to see. You're seeing it in the labs. You're seeing it on their organic acids. You're seeing it in all the. You're seeing it expressing. You're not just seeing it in the. You see the NBPF3. You see it expressing. I know that that's
a. You have a B6 deficiency, and you're asking how do you go about supplementing it?
Right, especially if you see that they've got the SNPs. Like some people have a deficiency and they don't have the SNPs, but some of them, you know, it's like a no.
Yeah, so then it wouldn't change what, you know, dosing and all that and the types. What it would change is what I tell them about how long they're probably going to have to stay this way, and then my retest. So if somebody doesn't have the SNPs, it's just been a, you know, lifestyle accumulation, et cetera, a medication interaction, whatever. I say, well, there's good chance that we can get you to just do this for a few months, get your levels up to speed, retest, and then you may not have to take it, but you do have to focus on your B6 foods because you want to reverse what got you to the B6 deficiency. If they have a SNP, especially if it's a homozygous SNP, I'm going to say you know, the chances are good that you may either need to be like dousing yourself in B6 foods later down the road, but you have to be getting a higher level of B6 foods than the average person because you have this SNP. And heterozygous, you know, maybe less important or less length of time or frequency or whatever. So it really helps to help reinforce to people, you need this supplement. If somebody, and it also matters their age, right? If somebody's 16 and they have this and they have the symptoms and they are willing to reverse it and change the foods and get off the medications or whatever else is interfering, it's going to be very different than somebody who's 75, right? Because they have an accumulation of lifetime. So all of those things matter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've got somebody who's 50 with a homozygous SNP in that, you know, and she's expressing all the deficiencies. Her daughter, 17. I know that she's at least heterozygous, and she's expressing some deficiencies too. Yeah. But I was just like, well, how do I approach them differently? You know?
Yeah, that you just what I just explained. You explain to them all the factors that go in. You've got a B6 deficiency. It's clearly expressing itself. You have a risk factor for B6 deficiency. So you have to be ultra careful about keeping those levels up. Let's get you supplemented. Let's see how it reverses the manifestations and see how long we have to keep up the supplementation. And maybe it's forever for the person who's 50 and has a homozygous.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, like, you know, 15 to 20 is usually enough?
15 to 20
like milligrams of like the P5P just
depends
to bring
on
them.
How it's expressing. I mean, really is. I will put somebody on who has significant symptoms and significant indications. I may put them on 25 to 50. Also depends on how they're doing or how much they've taken in the past. If they've taken it in the past and they haven't gotten the things reversed at 15 to 20, then I'm gonna up it. So it's all very individualized and it's watching and watching and watching.
Right, all right. And then last question. Do you ever find that folinic acid is a helpful supplement or do you not really use that?
I would use that for somebody, but you have to make sure they don't have the, is it MTHFD1? There's a particular SNP that they should not take it. It's in the MTHFR ones. I can't remember if it's DS or D1.
Is that because of the way it converts the serine and glycine?
I'm not exactly sure what the mechanism is, but Christy Sutton's book describes it really well. So folinic acid I would use if I have somebody who I'm really careful about giving them methyl groups.
Mm-hmm.
And they have COMT, homozygous COMT. And I'm like, I don't want to give them, you know, this. So I would give them folinic acid as a possibility, as long as they don't have, I think it's the MTHFDS.
Okay. Yeah. I know that one really, really sucks up a lot of folates, the MTHFDs, folate and choline. But yeah, this person doesn't have any like MTHFR 667s. He has a heterozygous 1298. Too many methyl groups kind of make him not feel so great.
Yeah, I would say check to see if he has the one that priest that says no folate, no folinic acid. And if they don't, it's not a common one. It's not as common, but I do see it a fair amount.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Good questions.